And Ginny is the one who really pushed for having a writing workshop. And we all talk a lot about how writing has been such a huge part of our program and continues to be. So we hope that all of you will be inspired, if you're not already writing, that you will. And I wanted to start...
You lose the microphone.
I can sit. I wanted to start with just kind of a simple word chaining exercise. So if you have a pen, any piece of paper, we have some paper up here or in the back of the flyer, I just wanted to give you something to do for a moment. And the idea is I'll give you a word and you write the word and then immediately write the next word, whatever pops into your mind, and keep writing until you stop and your pen stops for a minute and you start to think, why did I write that? You stop at that point. So let's just take, are you ready? Oh, I need to turn over. I need to do it myself. Okay. Let's take the word miracle. Sometimes I've done this and I've seen after a couple words, where did that come from? And it will take me back to something. It seems like it's really out of left field. But what I love about this is it so taps into more of our intuition and our right brain. And when we stop and start to analyze it, it's more that analytical side. And to me, writing brings up so much of the unconscious, where a lot of my feelings are. And did anyone have something that surprised you with what you wrote that seemed out of left field with what we started out?
Yeah.
Do you want to say what yours was?
I had a few that surprised me. So, and many positive, but then I also had hardship. And what was the other?
Region, venture.
Yeah. Yeah. So I wanted to start with that, with just the idea that you don't have to formally be thinking about what you're going to write. You just pick up a pen and you can just, it's kind of like you doodle a little bit. And maybe something creative comes out, maybe a feeling, and all of a sudden you get in touch with something. So that's one of my favorite kind of a warm-up exercise that I do sometimes. To me, it's writing helps me discover really who I am at deeper levels all the time. Not that we'll do it right now, but one of the things I had on here was to just think about maybe 20 things that you love to do. You might even start writing them now, or that you love to do as a child, or you always wanted to do, but you never got to do it, and write that. I found like one of the things with me, there's pictures of me as a little girl. I was 4 and I was making like mud pies. I was having the best time just squishing through mud. And several years ago, my sister was out and we went to one of those spa days and we were, there was all this clay and we were just, you know, I was really a mess. But later I thought, gosh, you know, that was something I loved to do as a child. And it's like the idea that for me, some of the things that give us the most joy as we start to tap into that, it helps me to live more freely. Where my eating took me, everything was a buffer. And I got to a place that I didn't remember what I even enjoyed, where my binging took me many years ago, thank God. But writing uncovers more all the time. there's another page that I really wanted to get to because this, to me, is kind of like the foundation of how I use my program. And I was kind of guided with this. And it is, whenever you find yourself really troubled, it's become such a habit for me. Take out a notepad, take out a pen. And I was guided to do this. Dear God, or if that's a problem for you to say the God word, higher power, creative energy, whatever your higher power is to you, I feel, and then just write whatever pops into your mind, all the emotion, and let it come, and just write. And then I was told to insert the line, it reminds me of, and it's kind of like the word chaining exercise. When I'm having all this emotion, it seems like it's in the present, but if I get it all on the page, and then I put it reminds me of, it pops out of something from that I'm not even conscious of in the moment. And I was guided that, I had a sponsor that guided me, when we are really upset in the moment, okay, it's in the moment, but it's hooked up to many other things below. And that's, I hate to always be pulling my own covers, but the other day, this is my page. I was very torn with where I kind of wanted to be because of a family member and why I was here, blah, blah, blah. And I got a call at about an appointment that obviously I did not want to do. I was writing down the appointment and I felt I was just going to start crying. There was so much emotion. My notebook was there, so this is how it looks. Very hard to even read. I thought last night, okay, if I could read it, I will share what it was. And it was, dear God, please guide me with the truth. I feel afraid to have an MRI by myself. It hits at the fear of going through life and healthcare changes alone. It reminds me of being outside. This is from the past. It reminds me of being outside the MRI machine and hearing the loud clanking noise and having them give mom something to calm her. It makes me want to cry, missing my mom and wanting to hug her again. And I want to cry and hold myself because I will go through this alone. I know you are with me. I want to cry because Mike, this is someone in my family, has cancer. And I can't save him or my niece from pain. All these feelings hit me at once, and I give this to you. I breathe and go on. Without a writing outlet, I could not make it through life. Thank you, God. Right before this happened, I was sitting at the desk, and I thought, I don't even know what I'm going to say in this workshop. And like it's so part of my life. And that hit me. That's what I do. And I actually cried for just about a minute. I got up. After I was done, I don't stay in the house in the same chair and feel bad all day long with it. I get up and I went to the gym. And that's one of my outlets where I can go outside or I can walk my dog. I get out my feelings. I might call someone, but usually for me now, I get out my feelings. That's done. They're gone. Other feelings are coming in. I go outside. So that is my process. Sometimes I'll write in a form like this, and I put, hello again. I'm still in a rut, but reaching out again. My head says I'm too old to accomplish anything. My brain misfires, and I grope for words. My back is pulling me over and twisting my walk. Seems like a perfect condition for free flow of the words. Shall we gather at the river is playing its tune. Mike has cancer and Melinda's in a hurt. I can't control or fix a thing or delegate who is next. I need my words before they get stuck. My heart is open, but a guard dog has stopped me cold. Life's in its ever-moving process and my soul needs to write. write my days to or write my ship with thee. Gonna dream again, and why not? Who is the voice saying it is too late and not here? I am here, and that is enough to show up to the screen and cast my hook. Who knows what may line up? After 10 or 20 spins, I let go again and chance a dream. So sometimes I write and it comes out. There's anxious stuff, but it goes into something that makes it easier and lighter for me. So writing has been my best tool, but this is the kind. I remember when I was young and I was so overweight, and someone said to me, "You're always smiling. You're always happy." I didn't know what my feelings were. They were so stuffed under the addiction of food. And I've been absent one day at a time for a long time now. And there are feelings all the time. You know, I thought, we are feeling people. And I noticed the difference. One of my nieces feels something really deep. I can tell when something is affecting her. The other was, you know, everything is real glossed over. And I think it's hard for her to get in touch with our feelings. To me, we're people who have a ton of feelings. And we used to reach for food to push down those feelings or to manage them. That's what I did. And then there were a number of times I got thin and I bloomed up again. And I had a sponsor tell me once, you never want to get down your low weight without changing inside or you won't match. So on a daily basis, I pretty much need to write. And it gives me joy. And when something is really bothering me and I was torn whether I was going to be here or not, I will wake up in the night. And I'll go, oh, no. And my mind will be really bothered. And I'll think, I do not want to go in there and write. I want to go back to sleep. My mind does not care. You know, I'm wide awake and there's something that I'm going to get in touch with. And I go and I'll be sleepy and I start, dear God, please guide me with the truth. I feel, sometimes I'm not even sure what I'm feeling. I'm so mad I can't sleep right now. Blah, 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 blah. Why is this happening? And it just goes. And then I start to see what I'm to do. And I was to change a plan. I didn't want to change the plan. And I will struggle with that. Finally, I get tired. I go back up. I go to sleep. And then I have a dream about it. And I saw it in a dream. And then I wake up and say, okay, I'm changing my ticket. Fine. And then I'm peaceful. And that makes food stay in the level it's supposed to be. I enjoy my meals, but when they're done, they're done. So that's probably it. Well, it could be someone else will have, or does anyone have something you'd like to say about writing? I think I've kind of said what my process, I really love it and believe in it. And I really do like to doodle sometimes, just take a word. I thought of Lois, I'm not sure if she's in here now, but she talked about, she's an artist, she'll start to just draw. And I thought, you know, sometimes we might just do with the words, some kind of just take any word. Family. Work. And then maybe something that we'll need to write about it. To me, writing is about discovering who we are, being who we are. And I used to think, and I don't know if I'll have a tombstone, but I used to think it'd have to have something with a pen in or hand. And, you know, and how wonderful that we can get in touch with feelings and get close to people. And sometimes I went through a time that I'd think of a period in my life and I was stuck. And I'd be feeling sorry for myself. And I'd see me about 14, and I just felt so gangly, out of sorts, everything wrong, and I just did not know how to be in my environment. And I can even see myself just kind of sitting and trying to look all prim like I was supposed to be. And that wasn't who I was. So sometime I'd see that, and I didn't want to address, you know, I was just stuck. Like, I think my grandmother, it's around the time she had a stroke too. And I'd think, I wish there'd been someone I could have talked to, or someone would have talked to me. And then one day it hit me, I can talk to me. Now, I have dialogued back and forth with younger parts of myself. It's gotten where I've told myself what I wish someone could tell me, but I had this thing that happened kind of like in a meditation. I was so clearly seeing that part of my, I could see myself sitting on this couch at home and just not fitting in. And all of a sudden I saw me, who I am today. And I went over and I thought, and I actually visualized that. I was sitting there and just hugging that part of me. And instead of being the grandmother, well, I could be a grandmother now, I'm old. I went over and just hugged her and kissed her and said, you are so wonderful. You don't know all the things you're going to get to do. There's nothing wrong with you. And I started saying, affirming all the things that that gangly person just felt awful. And I thought, I can't believe that. And then I had a side of me that was at one of my top weight. And I really couldn't love that side either. And then there was a time when I could visualize. I've done writing, but I also will visualize going over and hugging me, my top weight, the part of me that still was trying everything to figure out how to get that monkey off her back, was still showing up in situations that were so hard. And I love that part of me. So I guess I use free form writing a lot and visualization to ongoing be more freed up. So thank you for letting me share my path with you.
Hi, Julianne, compulsive eater and bulimic.
Hi, Julianne.
Thank you, Betty. That brought up things for me. I was remembering I used to journal early in my recovery every day because my sponsor told me to. And I've been in recovery since 1985. And I had all these notebooks, and I opened some and looked at the writing, and it was so sad. It was terrible. I ended up throwing them all away. I mean, I had like 20 or 30 of them. And I don't journal every day, but one of my sponsors told me that I should read and write every day to remind myself that I'm a compulsive eater. Not that I forget, but that it's kind of like my medicine. So I know we have all these booklets. We have thousands of questions now, where in the beginning, I think we had 30, 60, 90. You know, we didn't have that many. Now you could write for years on these questions. But she also told me if I didn't want to do that, I could take something out of the 24 hours a day and write on the question, because there's always a question at the bottom of the first set or something that jumped out at me. So I've been doing that for years. And you know, I ask my sponsees to write every day because of what my sponsor said, that this is a good way to remind yourself that you have a disease and it needs treatment. Because, I mean, we all do something to treat this disease or we wouldn't be here. So I wanted to talk about this inventory sheet. Maybe some of you got it. I actually usually do it this way, but it's hard to print out that way. And this is because I know a lot of you probably are familiar with this kind of inventory, but if you're not, I'm just going to go through it anyway, because it's one of the most helpful tools for me. And I wanted to have a couple of handouts with all these fears and resentments, but it just didn't happen. But, you know, like, I could say who I resentful at, like, let's say my brother, one of my brothers. I'm really resentful at Sid. Cause, what happened? Well, he judges me a lot. It affects my pride, my emotional security, my relationships. What are my fears? Now, I'm just going to read some of the fears out of a list I was going to print out for you. And if you want these, I can give you my email and I can send them to you. But you can also, I got them from the internet. You know, because now it's really, it's hard to identify fears and character defects. I mean, I remember when I told my sponsor ages ago all my character defects, I had like 38 of them. And she said, how about hypocritical? How about inconsiderate? And I'm like, oh yeah, you know. So on this one, the one that I printed out says the fears: God, dying, insanity, rejection, loneliness, diseases, eating again, sex, sexuality, the opinion of others, et cetera, et cetera. And then character defects. I'm sure God, there's so many here. I wanted you all to have it, but I got it from the internet and it's alphabetical. And I'm just things like aimless, angry, intolerant, irresponsible, prone to gossip, you know, and then there's character assets too, accepting, living for today, humble, industrious. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff. So I hope you'll look that out. Or like I said, I'll give you my email if you want me to text it to you or send it to you. So what is the most important is once I've written down those things, and if I have a list, I can see it much better than to try to think of it. And this is a part that always helps me, my part. I always have a part. And it takes away my resentment because usually it's hard to look at my part. Sometimes it's not, well, yeah, it is hard to look at my part because it's because of my character defects and my fears that I reacted that way. And, you know, I have this prayer every morning. I roll out of bed, I do the third step prayer, and then I pray for God to divorce me from self-pity and to help me pause when agitated and respond instead of react, especially with my mother, because you guys know, a lot of you know, my 97-year-old mother lives with me, and she inserted the buttons, and they get pressed every day, and you know what? Sometimes I'm really good at responding, and I react a lot, too, and I feel terrible, and then I have to make amends, and I don't want to have to... I get really mad at myself that I do this because I don't want to hurt her. I think to myself, how would I want to be treated? You know, and I'm really, really lucky because my mom's a lovely person. I mean, yes, she is an untreated Al-Anon and it's still there and very controlling and has OCD, maybe just like me. You know, maybe she's spiritually sick just like me. And then when you were speaking, I was thinking of that term, like if it's hysterical, it's historical. And I'm sure I'm not saying anything new to most of you, but this is what I use to get through because resentment is the number one offender, you know, for sure. And I have slipped in my other program and in this program over resentments and anger. And so when I look at my part and I need to write about my brother, you know, I really do, because that's something I know I have a lot of part in it, but there are things I feel powerless over, like the fact that I was born, I believe this because it's my life. I was born with depression. I didn't know it was depression until I was in my mid-20s. It's still there. It's just like having blue eyes or brown eyes. You know, I think the first time I ever ate something that we don't eat anymore, it was like crack to me. And no one else in my family has depression or an eating disorder or addiction problems. So that was really hard. And also the food addiction and just later on drug addiction. So it's been very handicapping to me in a lot of ways. Like when I got abstinent and sober at 23, I had to spend most of my day recovering from the diseases in order to stay sober and stay abstinent. And, you know, my sponsor said, there's only one thing greater than your disease, and that's God, and you better find one. And because I was desperate, you know, raise your hand if you came to this program for a spiritual awakening. You know, yet that's the only way I can stay here. And it's something I truly want today. You know, when I pray, for me, my spirituality lies in pausing when agitated, responding instead of reacting, you know, trying to go from character defects to character assets. You know, when I see people who seem to really just work on character assets, I'm really attracted to them and I'm amazed. You know, I'm really amazed because I can be really negative. And it's not hard for me today, after years in recovery, to turn a negative thought into a positive one. I don't know that I would have had that ability even 10 years ago. It's, you know, I have that sobriety. It's just, you know, it's taken a long time to get to this point, even with working these steps for almost 40 years. You know, I'm going to be 63 in September. And, you know, it doesn't matter. I feel like I'm going to have to work on this disease. Well, I know I have to be here for the rest of my life, you know, because for me, it is a life or death issue. My top weight was 336 pounds. And I was only 23 at that weight, and I could barely turn over in bed. And, you know, I can't even imagine being that weight at 63. I'm sure I'd be in a wheelchair, you know. And if it wasn't for my higher power, which I chose to believe in that, my sponsor used to say right at the top of your page, God, please guide my pen. And she would also tell me when I went to a meeting to sit there and ask God, let me see what you want me to see, hear what you want me to hear, do what you want me to do. And when I say thy will be done, it's, you know, because I am reactive, I'm not patient. I'm impatient. I'm not tolerant. I'm intolerant. I want the opposite. And I can't always get there. I just can't always get there. And I feel like I have to forgive myself. My mother forgives me when I go and make amends to her because she knows she's not easy to live with. But the other part of the inventory is what could I have done differently? You know, and then it's why didn't I? And this is just really important to me. This helps me with all kinds of resentments and even, you know, fears. And there's some things I feel so powerless over in this world that sometimes I just can't move in. I do it and I can see my part, but I can't really change the way things are. So what could I have done differently? And I think of things I could do differently. You know, I'm just so grateful to this program, and I want to thank you all for coming here. And if you have any questions about this or you want to share your experience with writing, I call this a 10th step, but it's sort of like an extended fourth step. And I did not make this up, but one of my sponsors gave this to me. I'm not sure if it's from Joe and Charlie. I don't know where it's from, but she gave it to me years ago, and it's an impressive tool. I've even given it to my son, who's not in recovery, when he had a major problem in college that he had a big part in. And I thought maybe he'll see it. Well, no, he didn't. But I thought maybe he would, because I don't think you have to be in program to do this. But anyway, I don't have a lot more to say on that. I just, I do write every day. Like I said, I write on the, I write every day. It's for me. It's not for my sponsor. You know, she made sure to tell me that because a lot of you, when I've sponsored you and you go, I didn't do my question today, I'm sorry. And I'm like, it's not for me, you know? So, you know, I just welcome any input you have because you guys all saved my life and I, you know, I need you here. I'm a lifer. So that's all I got with that. Thanks. Does anyone want to share anything? Yeah, Shelley. Does she have to sign anything to speak?
Can I pull this down?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I don't know how it works. Just tilt the microphone. Just tilt the microphone. The microphone. Yeah.
Okay.
Hi, family. I'm Shelley H., bulimic compulsive overeater. I hate to turn my back to you.
It's okay.
But thank you, Jules. We've been trudging a long time. I do a 10th step every day, and it's important for me to give my experience strength and hope. I've been around since 1989, and I haven't had to throw up since March 28th, 1989, which is a big deal. And my recommitted abstinence is 21 years and 6 months and 25 days. And I do a 10-step every day, and I follow this format. I go, was I resentful, selfish, dishonest, or afraid? And the important part for me is that when I get to the end, I have to put down what I did good for myself that day. You know, a lot of times is I went for a hike, I weighed and measured my food, I made my outreach calls, I prayed, I meditated, and whatever I did to fill myself, because I didn't, before I came to program, I didn't know how to pause, I didn't know what quality leisure was, I didn't know what hobbies were. All I knew was sticking my finger down my throat, throwing up, and I was responsible for the world. And then the last column that I have is what I'm grateful for. And for me, because life has not been like this for me all the time, I start with a roof over my head, plenty of food to eat, money in the bank, all the things that I take for granted that I never get to really look at, because those are the things that really matter. Because my life was not like that all the time. My life was chaotic and out of control, and I didn't have a power greater than myself. My sponsor, when I first came in, said, there's a power greater than yourself. You're not it. Do you have a tree outside your house? I said, yes. He said, hug that tree. That's your new higher power. You know, so I welcome you all to do that too. And, you know, for me, my humility has grown as a result of doing this 10-step on a daily basis. And a lot of the character defects that I had before, like competitiveness, jealousy, they've fallen by the wayside most of the time because I've worked on them so much. You know, and I do it. I have a 10-step buddy, and I do it every day. And Julianne, thank you so much for presenting this, and Betty, too, and my sister, Jenny. Anyways, thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Julie. And the thing, or I don't know. Yeah, maybe.
I don't know. Do you guys want to take a few minutes to maybe write down? Oh,
okay. Never mind.
You go ahead, Jenny.
Would someone like to? You have to time me for 20 minutes.
Sure.
Thank you to Betty and Julianne and now myself, Jenny. You know, you can tell writing has transformed our lives, and it's brought us to a point where we know each other so well. And we know ourselves so well. So I'd like to thank Shirley and the committee organizing this wonderful convention to allow us to put this workshop on. Now, what I would like to center on, now, Betty was to whet your appetite for writing and to see what's possible when you write. And Julianne is a 10-step, really looking at yourself, your assets, your character defects. I am going to present something else. This is going to be maintenance writing. And before the meeting, I passed out some flyers. Some of you may not have gotten them, but, you know, indulge me to just tell you, I made this list of little tips. And some of the things that I thought used to keep me from writing. Number one was no time. I don't have the time. But I think I had to admit I had 5 minutes I could write. Another important tool in this program is to not use the computer when you write. You know, to get out a pen, a piece of paper. You know, you cannot get to your own feelings on a computer. It just doesn't compute. So, so some of the other things, get quiet. I use writing as a spiritual experience in the morning. I will actually light a candle, and I'll just be in a quiet place. There may be TVs going on all around the house, but I'm there, and I need to write. And then, you know, I've chose for this workshop the latest in our workbooks, and this is taken out of As Bill Sees It. And you're all fortunate today. You can go down to the literature table, the hospitality room, and look at all the booklets, everything. It's all there. So anyway, but so on my flyer or flyers, what I decided to do was to just take page 2. And so, in other words, you would be turning into this booklet and coming into page 2 here. So I've copied down the As Bill Sees It reading. And so I'm just wondering, could I have a volunteer to read that page for us? Nina, you want to read it? You can come up to the microphone here.
My back will be hurt.
That's okay.
Hi, everyone. Good morning. Nina, compulsive eater. Page 2. In God's hands, when we look back, we realize that the things which came to us when we put ourselves in God's hands were better than anything we could have planned. My depression deepened unbearable, and finally it seemed to me as though I were at the very bottom of the pit. For the moment, the last vestige of my proud obstinacy was crushed. All at once, I found myself crying out, "If there is a God, let him show himself. I am ready to do anything, anything." Suddenly, the room lit up with a great white light. It seemed to me, in the mind's eye, that I was on a mountain and that a wind, not of air, but of spirit, was blowing. And then it burst upon me that I was a free man. Slowly, the ecstasy subsided. I lay on the bed, but now for a time, I was in another world, a new world of consciousness. All about me and through me, there was a wonderful feeling of presence. And I thought to myself, so this is the God of the preachers. Alcoholics Anonymous, page 100. It comes of age, page 63. Thanks for letting me read.
Okay. Thanks, Nino. All right, now I'd like to turn to the last page on this. And Stacy, could you pick a letter A through F? What does should we do? Oh, D. Okay. So here's the question. This is an interactive workshop today. And I'd like you to answer this question. If proud obstinacy is crushed and yet it pops up again, what have you learned from that? So we'll take 5 minutes. Yes, once again, if proud obstinacy is crushed and yet it pops up again, what have you learned from that? Okay, we're just finishing up now. Could I have a volunteer to read something they wrote if they feel it might be something the group might like? Yes. Yes, you'll have to stand.
In the front of it.
Yes.
Hi, I'm Deb.
Hi, Deb.
I wrote very simply that I am in my own will and not God's will, and that I have something I'm... You can't hear me? Oh my God, I project really well, and thank you for letting me know you couldn't hear me. I am in my own will and not in God's will, and that I have something I'm holding on to, thinking that I know better and that it's time to let go and let God.
Thanks, Dan. Yes. Okay, Karen.
Hi. Karen N., compulsive eater.
Hi, Karen.
I wrote, I find over and over again pride is at the base of my dishonesty, my unwillingness to do the food plan as written. Wrote it down, called it in, committed it, did not deviate, is what I write next to the number one. And, you know, committing it and not deviating, there I am. That's my problem. And it's because I don't want to admit that I am not doing it the way it's supposed to be done. I don't want to say that. But, so what I know, and I heard this from my sponsor, God is at the tip of my pen. So this is what my higher power wants me to do. Write it down. I do that. call it in. I do that. Committed, not so much, and did not deviate. So I've got to get those last two things, because when my food is in order, my life is in order. Simple as that.
Thank you.
Well, maybe we'll go on to the next question. Let's see, Margot, would you give us a letter A through, we already had D, so A through F. F. Okay. F is relate three things God orchestrated for you that were better than you ever planned. All right. I think we'll try to get one more question in after this. Could I have some volunteers to read what they came up with? Would anyone like to share? Oh, sorry. I'm not. Okay. Yes.
Hi, I'm Vera, compulsive eater, sugar addict.
Hi, Vera.
All right. Three things. One, friends in the fellowship. I was a loner, and now I have a lot of friends. Two, God of my understanding, not the God that my parents had for me, but the God of my understanding. And three, health through a lifestyle change. As being 81, my doctor says I have really good health, so I'm so proud of that. Thank you. Wow.
Anissa?
I'm Eva.
Oh, sorry. Right.
Yep.
Yes.
Hi, my name is Anissa Compulsive. Hi, Elise. What I wrote, well, I didn't have the worksheet because I came in late, but on my little notepad, I wrote my new job. And the reason why was God doing for me what I couldn't do for myself. I was in my previous job for 12 years. And when I started that job, I thought I was going to retire from that job. I loved it so much. And it went into crisis. It was in the news for all this other stuff. And I was asked to do something illegal. And I was just devastated. And thank God I have a union. And my union sent in a cease and desist letter within 24 hours. But I knew, you know, I needed to go. And it's funny, because I work in a big agency. And I used to get emails. I still do get emails from all the different departments that were hiring. I wouldn't even pay attention to them because I was cool where I was, you know? And so I started to look, and I, in my prayers, is guide me and direct me. I knew I needed to leave. And an email went through that had a particular opening. And I said, oh my God, I didn't even know this department existed. I literally did not know this department existed. And when I opened the qualifications, I had all the qualifications. And then you had to do a supplemental questionnaire to cite specific experience you have with that job. I had a legitimate experience for every single one. And it's in the government. I was caught within 2 weeks. You know, that's like not unheard of. And everything just went perfectly smooth. And matter of fact, during the business conference last year, I actually had my final interview. I gave the group an extra longer lunch. Went up to my room. Okay, I do my final interview. And and I love it. One last thing, where I got my master's degree in a certain field, and I had not worked in it at all. And in 2009, and this job, I'm now applying everything I went to graduate school for when I had given up the idea that I wouldn't be able to use it at work. So that's God doing for me what I couldn't do for myself.
Thank you. Well, thank you for sharing. And so let's do one more. Let's see. Bonnie, would you give us a letter? Okay, letter A. What practices do you use to turn it over, in quotes? And we'll just take a few minutes on this because